just like a tree that's planted by the water.
We want to welcome everyone to Scott Parker Ministries. It is our desire that each person come into the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man. Let us open up with prayer.
Father, I just give you praise. I just give you glory, for there's none like it unto you. The great I am who sits on the sides of the north in Mount Zion, the circle of the earth. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior. We thank you, Father, for your glorious Holy Spirit, for he is the eyes of the Lord who run to and fro throughout all the earth to show himself strong on those whose heart is perfect towards you. Father, we just thank you for making our hearts right.
I thank God I'm going to be speaking on one that accuseth you. And I want to start off by saying the Lord doesn't always talk the way we would consider appropriate, okay? Sometimes his words will rub you the wrong way, and they can cut you to the heart. Turn to Matthew 15, verse 12. Let's look at that. Then came his disciples, said unto him, Knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? And he answered and said, Every plant which my heavenly Father have not planted shall be rooted up. Now, this sounds like to me the Lord will speak things that can offend you in order to root a person up that God didn't plant, like tares. And let me tell you this, the Lord will also speak words that will offend you, that will break your heart. And you'll find out part of God changing a person's heart, or for God to change a person's heart, he has to break it. You know, I used to have this paralyzing fear that I was a tear. And those of you know what the parable of the tares is. The tares are people that the devil planted in God's field, and they were burned in the end. And I asked the Lord, how can I know scripturally I'm not a tear? And immediately John 1:12 came to me. Let's read that. But as many as have received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And I thought, oh, I don't have to be a tear. Just receive the Lord Jesus Christ. And you don't have to be a tear. Just receive the Lord Jesus Christ and walk in him, and you'll come to sonship. And you know what? I got a hold of that day. I no longer could the devil torment me with the fear of being a tear. And because it got in my heart. And I understood it. And I had to understand it for it to get in my heart. But this is an example right here, John 8:31-32, where it says, You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. See, because after I got a hold of this truth, I was never afraid I was a terror ever again. And you don't have to be one either, okay? Now let's get back to Jesus' words of being offensive, that he is called the stone of stumbling and rock of offense. 1 Peter 2:7. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. But unto them which are disobedient, the stone which the builders disallow, the same is made the head of the corner. That was the Jews. They rejected him. The Lord Jesus Christ is the stone that the builders rejected. He is the chief cornerstone. Now, look at verse 8. And a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. Okay. Like I said, Jesus Christ is a stone of stumbling. He's a rock of offense. But if you won't run off when his words offend you, but just keep letting his words break you, because that's what will happen, then verse 5 will take place in life. Go back to that. He also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifice acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Now, I know people, you know, theologians, people study scripture are going to say, well, now these people are disobedient. These were the Jews. They rejected the Messiah. Yes, that's true. And that's exactly what it's talking about. I know that. But I also know, and I'm going to show you some more scripture to prove this, that he's a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. And he'll speak words to his own people to break them. All right. And that being broken, your heart being broken, is part of building the spiritual house. And your heart is that spiritual house. Let's look at that. Matthew 21. Well, you have to take the scripture I just read and put it together. Matthew 21, chapter 21, verse 42. Jesus said to them, Did you never read in the scriptures The stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner. This the Lord is doing is marvelous in our eyes. And Jesus just read him a parable of the vineyard. Therefore I say unto you, to those Pharisees, scribes and Pharisees, I say unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation, bringing forth the fruits thereof. Okay? You want to bear the fruit of the Spirit? You want to become the temple of God? Well, let's read the next verse. And whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken, but whomsoever it shall fall, it'll grind him to powder. See? He's a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. And he said, if you'll fall on this stone, or you'll fall on me, you'll be broken. And if you don't, you'll be ground to powder. So the Lord's talking about the kingdom of God being given to a nation or a person that will bring forth fruit, and that fruit is the nature of God. And then he says, I'm the stone you need to fall on and be broken. Because as your stony heart is broken, then the word of God can get in your heart and bear fruit. That's a parable of the sower. So, and you see that's in connection with him being a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. Okay, so there's a connection between Jesus' offensive words and dealing with our hearts. So don't turn away from the words of God if they offend you. Ask God for grace to stay with him, no matter how much his words offend you. I'm telling you, the word of God offended me, and I don't believe it's dealt with people very much if there's never been any offense. Now, I'll readily admit people with more pride get offended easier. If you got a real humble heart, you don't have near the problem with offense that some people do, but you will be offended. Somewhere down the road, the words of God will offend you. So, and if you don't run off, eventually your heart will be broken. And then you won't get offended anymore. And, you know, Jesus said, blessed is he that is not offended in me. See, but yet he said, you've got to fall on me. So if you understand that, and this is what I believe is blessed is the person whom God sets them free from all their offense. They get broken to pieces, and then, you know, because it says those that love God, nothing will offend them. So, and God's got to change your heart to love him. And so when he changes your heart, he breaks your heart, and he gives you a new heart to love him. And let me tell you something. This is a wonderful life, folks, because you get your heart broken to love God, and you'll be written of, I think it's 1 Corinthians 15, 5:14 or somewhere in there. It says the love of Christ constraineth us. That word constraineth means control. You can get to where your heart can be so changed, it is controlled by the love of God. That's a wonderful place to get to. That's where I'm working at. And I'm there to a degree. I've been changed to a degree, not near as much as I want to. Okay, 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, some men count slack, but as long suffering to us, we're not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. So he wants repentance as a change of heart. He wants to change all of our hearts. See, there are people that turn outwardly from their sins, but they haven't been brought to repentance yet. There's no change of heart. They turn right around and do it again. Matthew 12:33. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and its fruit corrupt, for the tree is known by its fruit. Okay. So you don't have to make it to perfection to go to heaven, but you do have to let Jesus Christ be Lord. All right? So don't be bothered. Every believer needs to be established that if they're walking with the Lord, God won't reject them. All right? Doesn't matter what problem you got with sin, just keep believing him. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. John 5:45, do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuseth of you, even Moses, in whom ye trust. See, the Lord didn't come to blame us, charge us for a fault or sin. He came to set us free from our sins. All right? Law of Moses charges us with what we've done. Jesus Christ sets us free. All right? Isaiah 1:18. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, yet shall they be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Okay? You know, one of the things that I've seen people have the hardest time getting a hold of is that the law of Moses was done away with. because they think that you're saying it's okay to lie, steal, or break any of the commandments, any, you know, one of the Ten Commandments. Now, I'm not telling you to break them. I'm telling you fulfill them by walking in the Spirit. Let's look at that. Romans 8:4. That the righteous law might be fulfilled in those who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Okay? I'm going to show you. You try to keep the law, you will not fulfill it. If you'll walk by faith, you'll fulfill it. All right? You'll end up sinning more. You try to live by anything that you are have sin in you on. We'll get into that in a minute. See, when you walk after the Spirit of God, you will fulfill the righteousness of the law, and you'll get set free from sin. Not just act right outwardly. Let's go back to verse 1, Romans 8. There is therefore now no condemnation of them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law, the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Isn't that wonderful? See what happens when you walk after the Spirit? First of all, and walking in the Spirit is just applying yourself to keep the words of God and your mind in the things of the Spirit, trusting the Spirit of God to lead you. This is in the context of you're still having to overcome the body of death, the body of sin. You're still bound by sin. You're still under sin. But there's no condemnation to you. And you're just making effort to believe and to walk out of Spirit. And look what happens. The law of the Spirit of life of Christ Jesus made me free. The law of sin and death. I can testify that that's worked in my life. I had trouble with unbelief. I had trouble with all kinds of sin. But I just kept applying myself to keep the words of God in my life. I'd pray, read the Word of God, do what I could do. And all in between, I had different problems, different sins. And you know what? I was being set free as I walked this way. See, that's what this teaches. Verse 3, for what the law could not do and that it was weak through the flesh. See, thank God, God made a way for us to get out. All right? God sent his own Son in the light and sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. Okay? What the law could not do. What could the law not do? Couldn't set you free from sin. Turn to Acts 13:39. I'm going to read the New Life Version. Everyone who puts his trust in Christ will be made right with God. You will be made free from those things the law of Moses could not make you free from. Let's read that same scripture in the New International Version. Through him, everyone who believes is set free from every sin. A justification you were not able to obtain under the law of Moses. You know, and over the years, many times I've heard ministers and other Christians say, we're made right by receiving Christ, and we live right by living by the Ten Commandments. But what some don't seem to understand is you can clean up the outside of the cup or clean up your outward behavior and still have lots of sin in you, and therefore still walk in the wrong spirit. Look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. And you have he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. This scripture tells us that the New Testament believers were led around by the wrong spirit. They were led around by the prince of the power of the air. And we lived in disobedience. And the only way to come out of this spirit is to walk in the obedience to the faith. Believe the gospel. Live by faith. Get your heart changed. Therefore, walk in God's Spirit. Now, I know, I'm telling you, I could take every one of these scriptures, I could show you how one minister here or there will teach it wrong, and they all act like it was all done. They all act like it was all done. Well, it wasn't done. You know, God starts a work in you, and he finishes a work. I mean, one of the things that I've heard the charismatics teach for years, because I can find things wrong with different denominations, I can find things wrong with the charismatic churches. I'm talking about doctrines they've taught. But they taught that you just make the decision, you receive Jesus, you're born again, old things pass away, all things become new. Okay, and then they talk about overcoming sin. Well, if all things became new, you wouldn't have any problem with sin again. All right, but it didn't happen at all at once. Okay, verse 3, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, the lust of flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as other. Okay. When you walked and did your own will, you're led around by the wrong spirit. With these sins in you, you're going to do it to some degree or another. Okay? Now, you can be a New Testament believer, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You can get in the spirit. You can walk in the spirit, but you won't stay there all the time until you get rid of all these lusts. You'll go back into the wrong spirit. You can't help yourself. And many times you don't even recognize you're doing it. Well, you didn't recognize you were. How many of you, be honest out there, how many of you ever knew that you grew up being led around by the wrong spirit? Did you even know that you were led around by a spirit? Well, I just read you. We all were. We were all led around by the prince of the power of the air. I didn't know it. Did you know it? No. God has to open your eyes to that. See, God, a man was created to be led around by a spirit. This is not something super spiritual. This is New Testament sound doctrine. See, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they're the sons of God. And this is where you're converted. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to teach this and teach this from every angle I can. And God will open your eyes and show you that as you're converted, you go from the flesh to the spirit. You go from one nature to the other nature. When you change natures, you change spirits. All right? Okay. This word conversation, we all had our, is behavior. And it gives you, and I want to give you an example how you can clean up your outward behavior and still have this sin in you. Matthew 5:27. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. That's the old covenant, one of the Ten Commandments. But look what the Lord said in the next verse. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after have committed adultery with her, already in his heart. So, with the coming of Christ came a new covenant, was put in place where not only we're not commit acts in, but the new, it was put in to teach us not to commit acts in, but also with a new covenant to get, it gets to the root of the problem of sin in us. See, to overcome walking in the wrong spirit, you have to overcome the sin in you. Every one of us. And I've gone over that much in Romans 6, water baptism, and holding fast to the gospel, putting the old man off, and all these things, and I'll continue. You get your eyes open to this, and you get a revelation, as you start believing this and praying this, you'll be praying, and you just, you believe what you're praying, and you got faith and the Spirit working in you, and you'll feel some more sin being put to death. You go, oh my God, it was that easy. Yeah. Sometimes it's easy, sometimes it's not. Okay, 2 Timothy 2:24. Serving the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, that God peradventure will give them repentance, acknowledging of the truth, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Right here it says, we recover ourselves out of the snare of evil spirits as we're brought to repentance. And the repentance is not, or let me say it this way, the repentance is for each and every sin. And a repentance is a changing of our heart. It's not just to turn from our sins, get the sin out of us, but it is to turn us to believe and walk in faith, okay? And when that, as that process of repentance is going on in a believer's life, they'll come out of these spirits, all right? That's what I just read you. Let me say this. I know that there will be those who will be offended at me for saying these things when I talk about Christians walking in their own spirit. But let me tell you something. I don't have a commandment to make big groups of people. I have a commandment to make Christians. And for me to make a Christian out of you, I got to teach you the ways of God. Okay? So if I have a smaller group, if my ministry, and I've been ministering for a long time, but I'm about to start my ministry, and I'm being met with much opposition as I do it. There's a lot of pain in me right now. But I'm going to make Christians, and I may not have a big group of people. I don't know. We'll see. But I'm going to make Christians out of them. And I'd rather have a smaller group of people and make Christians out of them and have a big group of people that all outwardly they look beautiful and they seem to act right and every talk right, but they're walking the wrong spirit. And so, like I said when I start, if I offend you, then all I can say is consider what I say and see if what I'm saying is true. You know, Apostle Paul said, consider what I say and the Lord give you understand. And I'm going to tell you this, the law of Moses is called Administration of Condemnation, Administration of Death. And whatever sin is in you, the law will make it stronger. It will. It doesn't strengthen a sin that you don't have in you. But see, we were born with sin in us. And more can be conceived in your heart too. You know, and I can prove every one of these things. Like, take for instance, turn to 1 Corinthians 15:56. Sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. Strength of sin is the law. Same scripture, contemporary English version. The law is the power behind sin. International Standard Version. Sin's power is the law. I'm not reading the first part of the verse in each one of those. But every place it talks about how the law strengthens sin's power of sin. Now, that ought to bring something to your attention. Now, there are certain people that will take certain translations and say, well, the power of sin is the law bringing death, you know. And they'll try to, you know, I'm sure they believe this. I'm not putting people down because they believe they may not get it right. We're all having to be corrected. But the way you know you got it right is then it'll line up with other scriptures. Let me give you another one. Romans 5:20. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. There you go. It makes the offense abound. Makes you sin more. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. English Standard Version. Now the law came in to increase the trespass. But where sin increased, grace abounded all the more. Now, why would God do this? Because then every human being is brought to the place where they know they're sinful and must receive Jesus the Messiah. And this includes you Jews. All right? And look at Romans 3:19. Now we know that what things serve the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. So the whole world becomes guilty before God. And then the next verse tells us why. What made us guilty. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. The law gives you the knowledge of sin. Okay? It makes us guilty before God. But you know what? God doesn't leave us in that position. Go to Galatians 3:24. Wherefore the law is our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after faith has come, we're no longer under a schoolmaster. Now, let me bring up a very important point here. You know what I've seen ministers do in this land? Continue to try to bring people repentance by the law of Moses. And it's a worldly sorrow. You know, it says godly sorrow bring them to repentance, to salvation. Or it says godly sorrow work of repentance unto salvation. I think I'm quoting that right. But the sorrow of the world, work of death. Okay. Many people sit there and try to shame you for sin and guilt and make you guilty for your sin and thinking that's, you know, going to bring you to repentance. Well, the law brought us to Christ. After that, we're no longer under the schoolmaster. See, then, and that's a whole nother subject, but a godly sorrow is where God will let you look into the mirror of his word, see what you're like, and then you look in the mirror of his word, see what he's like, and then you, as you continue to look in that mirror, and the way you look in the mirror is be a doer of the word, and you'll be brought to the place where you go, and there's other things God does, but a work of the Spirit in your life, you go, I don't want to be that way. And you don't have to be guilty about it either. You just say, I don't want to act like that. You begin to see how wrong you are, and you won't want to act that way, and it'll bring repentance. Okay, let's go ahead and put a song here. Let's do In the Presence of Jehovah by Pamela Pontia.
In and out of situations, all day long I struggle for the answers that I need. Then I come into his presence and all my answers become clear. And for that sacred can interfere in the slip away and breathe his name. He will surely meet you there
in the
okay, turn to Matthew 23, verse 25. Woe to you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for you may clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but within you are full of extortion and excess. Skip down to verse 28. Even so, ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within you are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. Now the scribes and Pharisees taught the law of Moses, and most of them rejected the Lord when he came. Now let's look at some of the people who received the Lord but still wanted to implement the old covenant. Turn to Acts 15, verse 1, New Living Translation. While Paul and Barnabas were at Antioch of Syria, some men from Judea arrived, began to teach the believers, unless you are circumcised as required by the law of Moses, you cannot be saved. Paul and Barnabas disagreed with them, arguing vehemently. Finally, the church decided to send Paul and Barnabas to Jerusalem, accompanied by some local believers, to talk to the apostles and elders about this question. Skip down to verse 5. But then some of the believers who belonged to the sect of the Pharisees stood up and insisted, the Gentile converts must be circumcised and required to follow the law of Moses. Now, I spoke about how most of the Jews did not believe Jesus was the Messiah in my last podcast, and they reject him. Well, here are some of the Jews that believed on Jesus, yet they still didn't know the law of Moses was done away with. So the apostles and elders, verse 6, met together to resolve this issue. At the meeting, after a long discussion, Apostle Peter stood up and addressed him as follows. Brothers, you all know that God chose me from among you some time ago to preach to the Gentiles so that they could hear the good news and believe. God knows every person's heart, and he confirmed that he accepts Gentiles by giving them the Holy Spirit just as he did to us. He made no distinction between us and them, for he cleansed their hearts through faith. Now, the only way to get the sin nature out of you is by faith, access to grace. Or you're still going to walk in the wrong spirit. Okay? Now you have to yield to it, but you're going to naturally yield to it when it's in you, when it's your nature. Now, I want to say once again, any person who receives Christ, they practice their faith, there's no condemnation to them, even while they're in the process of being saved from their sins. And they have eternal life. They don't have to reach a certain place of overcoming or spiritual growth to go be with the Lord. But God does require that you make Jesus Lord of your life, and that you shun evil and do what's right side of the Lord. Okay? So don't ever be deceived that you can go back and just practice willful sin and everything will be okay. The Word of God clearly says if you do that, you go back to destruction. Hebrews 10, verse 9. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He take away the first that he may establish the second. The first covenant that he may establish the second covenant. Okay? Jesus, Messiah, came to do the will of God. And with his coming came the new covenant. And notice you have to take away the first covenant, the old covenant, which includes the Ten Commandments, to establish the second covenant. Okay? The reason people can't get established in the faith and they have so little faith is because of the Ten Commandments in their heart. And no, I don't say that you can lie, steal, commit adultery, commit murder. All these sins are in the hearts of men and women. But they can be taken out by the Spirit of God as you get in faith under the new covenant. And we overcome sin by faith. We deal with sins with our faith. They were dealt with on the cross. Okay? See? Let's read that again. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He take away the first, and may establish the second, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. So here we're sanctified by the body of Jesus as a sacrificial lamb by faith in the crucifixion of Jesus. We're set apart, that's sanctified, to walk in God's spirit, not the prince of the power of the air. And you will come out of that wrong spirit as you overcome your sins by the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, him crucified. Okay, Revelations 12:10. And I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now has come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused him for our God day and night. Okay. Now we read there's one that accuses you, even Moses. Well, see, the devil uses that. He uses the law to accuse you. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives on death. Now, all you Jews out there, this new covenant of Jesus the Christ, dying for our sins and the sins of the whole world, being buried and rising from the dead to justify every human being, is a new covenant. And this new covenant was given to the house of Israel and the house of Judah. See? Jeremiah 31:31. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I'll make a new covenant with the house of Israel, with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers, the day that I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was a husband unto them, saith the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward part and write them in their hearts as statutes. And I will be their God, and they will be my people. It's going to write the words of God, the words of the new covenant. And they shall not teach, and they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sin no more. Okay. Hebrews 8, verse 7. For if the first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. For finding fault with them, he said, behold, the days come, saith the Lord. And see, the Ten Commandments was part of the new covenant. Finding fault with them, he said, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel, with the house of Judah. See, and this is what he was quoting in Jeremiah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continue not my covenant, and I regard them not, saith the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my laws in their mind, write them in their hearts. I'll be a God to them, and they shall be my people. They shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. For all shall know me, the least the greatest. For I will be merciful to their unrighteous, their sins and iniquity, will I remember no more. Okay. Romans 10, verse 1. Brethren, this is Apostle Paul, who was a Jew. He was of the strictest religion, a Pharisee. And he said, brethren, march, desire, and pray to God for Israel, so that they might be saved. I bear them record, they have a zeal of God, but not according to us. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness, everyone that believeth. See, they went about to try to keep the law of Moses. And Paul said they were ignorant of God's righteousness. And he said the Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. Now, it's not the end of the law to show people their sin and to bring them to Christ, but it's the end of the law to live righteously. It's still in place. It's written, I think it's the second chapter of Romans, that he wrote the law in the hearts of the Gentiles to give them knowledge of sin. That's why university, everybody knows what sin is. But it's to make them guilty and put them in bondage. And then it's a schoolmaster to bring them to Christ, and they're no longer under the schoolmaster. Then we live righteously by faith. We overcome our sins by faith. We overcome the devil by faith. Because through faith, you can get God's power working in you. So you can overcome the devil by the power of God. You can't overcome the devil in your own strength. You can overcome your sins by faith, because it's by the power of God working in you, setting you free from your sin. You can get rid of your old nature by faith. Why? All these things were dealt with on the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus died. He was buried, and he was raised from the dead. And that's the power of God to deliver us. And then as we hold fast that gospel, we walk in the words of God. And we will walk in the love of God, and we will love God and love our neighbor, and it'll fulfill all the law. All right? So don't ever say that I taught you could go live in sin when I say the law is done away with. No, on the contrary. I say you live in the righteousness of faith. And that's the only way you're going to live in the righteousness of faith. That's the only way you're going to walk in the right spirit. That's the only way you're going to get your nature changed. And I'm going to continue to teach these things, and I can teach them line upon line, precept upon precept. And it all fits together. And I think that's all I'm going to say. I'm pushing through much oppression and pain, but everything's good. It's all good. Yeah, I think I'll end there. Everybody have a great day. God bless.
Hallelujah, I shall not be moved. Anchored in Jehovah, I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the water.